Now, back to InfoTrack. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
If you're a parent, you'll want to hear our next story. It may surprise you to learn how powerful your influence can be in affecting your child's behavior. InfoTrack reporter Jim Anthony has the details. Jim?
Thanks, Chris. My guest is Danielle Dick, director of the Rutgers University Addiction Research Center, based at Rutgers Brain Health Institute, and the senior author of the study. A lot of parents worry that genetics determine everything, but the biggest takeaway from the study, I presume, seems to be just how much parents really matter when it comes to their child's behavior.
Absolutely. And so parents don't have to worry. We always say DNA is not destiny. So we know that our genetic makeup, the genes that we're born with or that our kids are born with, they certainly influence the way their brains are wired, and that influences their behavior. And that's why some kids are naturally more impulsive or more anxious. But we know that genes are only part of the story. And the other piece of what influences kids' behavior is their environment. And parents play a big role in that.
You use the term parental monitoring. What does that look like in real life, especially for parents of teenagers who want to be more independent? And what teenager doesn't want more independence?
When we talk about parental monitoring, we're basically talking about, are you asking your kids, where are you going? Who are you with? What are you doing? This doesn't mean that, you know, we are on top of our kids or their every move. In fact, we do a lot more monitoring now than, you know, our parents did a generation ago. But it does mean that you're engaged in their life and generally knowing where they're going, who they're with, what they're doing. And what we have found is that when it comes to substance use and other risky behaviors, that parental monitoring, the more parents are kind of engaged in knowing what their kids are doing, that there is less of that risky behavior or kind of kids' ability to act out and get themselves into trouble, if you will.
Why does the attentive parenting seem to switch off that genetic risk?
What it does is it essentially gives kids some boundaries. And so we know that particularly for kids who are at elevated genetic risk. So these are the kids who are maybe more wired toward being impulsive, toward wanting to push the edge of the envelope, toward wanting to try new things. I will mention that none of these are bad things in and of themselves. It just can make it really hard on us who are the parents of these kids. But what we know is that when kids candidly have more boundaries, when they have less opportunity to express those predispositions in ways that could get them into trouble, that's where we see reduced conduct problems, reduced substance use, and those kind of risky behaviors in kids, even when they are genetically more prone or kids who have temperaments that tend to be more risk-taking. That's where parental monitoring becomes even more important.
Is it also that it's important to get children or adolescents involved in, say, activities at school, extracurricular activities, maybe within their community or their church environment if they have one? Is that important, just trying to keep those kids busy?
Absolutely. Depending on kids' natural disposition, so you know, let's continue with these kids who are more impulsive, more risk-taking, there's different ways that you can channel that disposition. And so when there is more monitoring of, you know, the environment, the friends that they're with, where they're going, then they're less likely to be channeling those dispositions into things that could get them into trouble, right? Maybe being at parties where there's alcohol, where there's opportunity to, you know, engage in conduct that we don't love our kids be doing when they're teenagers. But you can channel that same kind of risk-taking disposition into other outlets, exactly as you were saying. And so we can think of the risk taker can either be at a bar, drinking alcohol, maybe experimenting with drugs, or maybe they're out climbing a mountain, right? Maybe they're out engaging in sports. Maybe they're doing other kinds of things that will engage that dopamine hit, that reward seeking that one's brain is looking for when they're a more impulsive, like trying new things person. that it can be engaged in different outlets. And really, one of the things we want to do as parents is try and help them accentuate their strengths, channel those dispositions into things like sports or activities that they can be successful in and learn from, and channel them away from potential pitfalls like conduct problems, substance use, maybe risky sex or other kinds of things that adolescents might otherwise be tempted to engage in.
Your research carries a hopeful message that, and you said it at the top of the program, genes are not destiny. How do you balance that optimism without putting pressure or blame on parents? You know, adolescence is a challenging time, not only for teenagers, but for parents as well. So how do you balance that optimism without putting that extra pressure or blame on the parents?
I actually think that understanding that our kids are all wired differently and that they have different genetic predispositions is something that can be empowering for parents. Because if anything, sometimes we see parents taking on so much worry or blame if our kids are acting out or having difficulties, you know, especially when kids are young, but it's true, it continues into the teenage years, we think, what am I doing wrong? Or am I being judged as a parent? So I think acknowledging the reality that kids' behavior is partly genetically influenced. So we know that about half of the differences between kids and how impulsive, anxious, extroverted, et cetera, they are is due to differences in their DNA. And the other half is differences in their environments. That said, that's not all on parents either, because of course, especially as our kids get older, as they're teenagers and then young adults, they are also selecting their environments. So we can help put in place boundaries, and we can have honest conversations with them about our rules and our expectations. But parenting is just one piece of the environment. There's peers, there's school influences, there's where the teenagers are choosing to hang out. And so that's why it's so important to really, you know, have these open lines of communication with your kids while recognizing that part of growing up is exploring, and they're going to make some mistakes, and that's okay too. We just want to try and curb them from making any big life-altering mistakes.
For parents listening right now who may feel overwhelmed or unsure where to start, what is one realistic thing they can do to strengthen that connection with their children?
One of the things that we know is most effective in working with teenagers is to ask them questions. And so rather than coming in with, here are all the rules, here are all the expectations, I don't mean to say that it's not important to have rules in your home and expectations for your kids. But if you really want to get to know what's going on in your kid's life and try and understand the different pressures that they are trying to balance and navigate, asking them questions like, so tell me about, I heard this person on the radio talking about substance use and about, you know, teenagers getting into trouble. What kind of things do you see at school? Do you see any of your friends trying things? Do you feel pressure to maybe go to some of these places that, you know, your dad and I or your mom and I don't like you to go to? By asking questions, you can start a conversation with your child. It doesn't mean that you will give in to everything they want, but that's how you open the lines of communication.
And looking ahead, how can these findings of the study influence school programs or community supports or family-based prevention efforts aimed at helping at-risk youth before problems escalate?
One of the most important things I think to remember is that one size fits all tends not to work when it comes to parenting, when it comes to, you know, school programs, etc. And so recognizing that all kids are different, and they all have their own different temperamental styles, and they all have their different environmental circumstances and pressures. And essentially working with each, if you're a parent, each of your unique kiddos on what are their strengths, what are the challenges that they're facing. We know that this kind of more individualized approach tends to be more effective. It's what we're moving toward in medicine as well, too. You sometimes hear it called personalized or precision medicine. The idea that the same thing does not work equally well for everyone, that's true of parenting as well. And that's one of the reasons why asking questions of your kids can be such a great place to start.
Communication and openness key at that critical juncture in those children's lives.
Absolutely.
Danielle Dick with the Rutgers Brain Health Institute is my guest. Continued success with your research, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And I'm Jim Anthony for InfoTrack.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.